League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Belvieu, Houston.
The Killer Bees!
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of the Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? How'd I do?
Lacking confidence.
Well, Brendan Riley behind the glass. I try so hard. I'm not very good at impersonations, we found out today.
I know that you are both capable of doing that open. I've heard you both do it, and it's okay. The same problem every time. Not enough confidence. You got to believe that you're better at it.
I'm going to let Josh Beard do it. Josh Beard, can you do what Joel Blank does to open up every single episode?
I always forget it. What is it again?
No. You have to go off of what you heard.
I forgot what I heard!
Exactly.
Oh, okay, on a scale of, when I've done it before versus what Paul just did, who wins?
I've heard you do it twice.
Yeah.
The first time you were far better.
Okay.
The second time it was a waste of time.
What is it again, real fast, bro?
What's up, H-Town? That's all you get.
Yeah.
Okay, I have to do it. Okay.
Yes!
Now there's no music. This is awkward. What up, H-Town? Hey, how you doing?
I actually think it was better than Paul's.
Yeah, let's go, baby. Let's go. There is a lack of confidence there, though. It is like those are big shoes to fill.
You know? Sometimes it happens.
I got some little small hobbit feet. Hairy hobbit feet. So
why'd you share that?
I don't know, because I said there were big shoes to shut up. I'm an overshare. I'm a textbook overshare.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. I was thinking about the big shoes to fill for a second. Yeah, they don't wear shoes. Josh Beard, Twitch star that he is, twitch.tv/toothpete. My old producer on the Gallant at Night radio program at the Texans flagship. I'm Paul Gallant. In case you don't know, I do the Vanessa and Gallant radio show from 10 until noon every single day right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And guess what? We just did a two-hour show, Josh Beard and I, and we're going to do the next 3 hours, which I'm very pumped to be here with you as Joel Blank, Jeremy Branham enjoy the first part of their Memorial Day weekend. But I am talent. And I thought to myself, it is Friday. I'm doing a little extra Lord's work. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to make Brendan Riley behind the glass just give me the whole rundown. He has to tell me what I'm going to talk about. I want to be like one of these speak for your pizza television shows, and I want to have all of the content decided not by me, but by my producers. So, the first topic of the day. The Los Angeles Angels lost last night. Nobody else in the division matters. So, Brendan, you would like to get my feelings on the division race, correct? The AL West.
Well, specifically, I just remember, and I'm not criticizing you here, but early baseball season.
Go ahead, criticize me.
I remember a lot of, my show was guilty of it too, but I remember a lot of overreaction to struggling Astros. I'm just asking for some overreaction to the struggling division.
Listen, the AL West is the same old AL West. It is a bunch of nobodies. It is. I mean, the Los Angeles Angels are 2.5 games back of the Astros right now. I do think that they are a team that is somewhat concerning. I'm curious as to what happens the next time that these two teams face each other. But the A's are dead and gone until they moneyball their way back to some sort of mild relevance or are in Las Vegas. The Texas Rangers have been a massively underachieving team to this point, Josh Beard. And the team that I followed last year, the Seattle Mariners, reality's catching up with them a little bit. They won a lot of one-run games last season, despite not a whole lot of offense. So I would just say, this is kind of what I expected out of the AL West. the concerns that I have about the Astros are never going to be about the division. It's always about the macro, not the micro.
Yeah, we're not concerned and haven't been and shouldn't be concerned about the division mostly over the last 4 or 5 years, right?
No.
Like when you're talking about the Astros and the people that we're worried about who we're going to face off in the ALCS, the ALDS. We're worried about the Yankees. We're worried about the Red Sox. We're worried about the Dodgers and teams like that. I think the AL West has definitely underachieved. The Mariners are who I always thought they have been and will always be. They're poop. Big old poop. I think
not cool.
The Rangers have underachieved a lot. I feel like with the pieces that they've added to their team and the money that they've spent, I feel like they should be better than 20-23 right now. And that's not disappointing is the wrong word, but I'm a little surprised that they're not better than they are.
Maybe compared to years past, because of all the money that they put in, that's where they should be at this point in time.
Yeah.
But I'm with you in that I was a little more concerned about their existence going into the year than I should have, at least based off of what we've seen through a little over 40 games.
Right. And look, the Angels are concerning. They're good. They should be a good team. How long have we been waiting for them to be
so
a good team with Mike Trout?
Right. Exactly. Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani, you have Rendon. You have Noah Syndergaard.
Right.
You have some big names at the very least with the Angels.
We're not worried about the regular season. We're not worried about the division. We're not worried about not making the playoffs. The Astros will make the playoffs. It's about what they can do and who's their top competition once they get to that point. Because a healthy Astros team with the team that they have right now with that bullpen. Pitching the way it's so crazy how successful with so many different people the Astros bullpen has been over the last 3 or 4 seasons, and they're doing it yet again this year. Justin Verlander's been amazing. Pena stepped in and been awesome for them. They've been on a tear lately, especially Altuve, and it's fun to watch. I don't think a single person in the Astros fan base is thinking, oh my God, what's going to happen with the AL West? We're thinking,
no.
What's going to happen when they get to the playoffs? Who are we going to face in the ALDS? Who are we going to face if we make it to the ALCS? What's going to happen? How do we get to a World Series? Like, everybody's thinking about October baseball right now, and that's not really like an AL West. Worrying about the division is just not something that the Astros need to do.
It's the Death Star versus the Rebel Alliance.
Right, exactly.
And look, I don't know how many people saw that the Obi-Wan show premiered today on Disney Plus, that there's going to be another show called, I guess, Andor, that's about the main guy from Star Wars Rogue One.
Cassian Andor.
Right. That looks like it'll be a very intriguing show. But remember, the Rebel Alliance versus the Death Star, and the Imperial, the Galactic Empire. Like, they had no chance. And that's what the Astros are to the rest of that division. And, yeah, the really only concern that I have is, okay, are the Yankees actually going to show up at all? This time around, and I would also say this too, Boston had an awful start. Boston has heated up of late, and their big signing this offseason, Trevor Story, has been just smacking the bejesus out of the ball over the last couple of games. And to Minnesota's credit, I mean, they are 27-18, but that division is diddly poo. I mean, as always, it's how do you compete against the teams that are really good in the American League East?
Right.
That's the only ones you really think about in if you're an Astros fan. It's the only ones you should think about.
So if you say this is Death Star versus Rebel Alliance, like if there's one thing you had to choose for the Astros, that would be the two meter ventilation shaft that you can shoot some beams down into. What would be the 2 meter ventilation shaft for the Astros Death Star right now?
Well, it's that they're not hitting.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it. I mean, we're a quarter of the way through the year, and you consistently see performances by the Astros lineup that leave you just wondering, hey, where's the offense?
Yeah.
Where are the bats? And look, I mean, if you want to compare them to the rest of baseball right now, okay, like what they've done from a pitching perspective has been really impressive, but I mean, if you want to count and rank where they are and run scored, if I'm doing my math right, because there's no numbers by it, but they're like 13th in runs scored thus far.
Yeah, I think they're like fifth or sixth in the AL alone. And that's concerning whenever you're looking at the Yankees who have 215 runs scored, right? you're looking at a team like the Angels, who are on the heels of the Astros, 217 runs scored.
Yep.
And so those are the types of teams that they're going to be facing off against whenever we get later in the season. The hits and the runs scored is a concern. I don't know, and maybe this is just because I've watched so many more Astros games than other baseball games in general, right?
Well, by the way, that's natural. I mean, for the most part, everyone who talks about baseball, you're watching your one team and you're watching them every night, and you get feelings on other teams based off of how they perform against other teams.
I don't know if I've ever seen a team strand runners as much as the Astros do.
Just, the Lobstros?
Oh, my God. It just constant. Over the last 3-4 seasons, it's just two runners on, bases loaded, stranded. We've seen bases loaded with one out, and they strand runners. Mm-hmm. For a team that we talk about that has one of the best lineups from top to bottom year after year, to strand runners as much as they do is wildly frustrating. And so that's a huge part of it is they need to find a way to get the bats going a little bit more. They've looked better lately, but if they could combine, like think about later this season, if everybody's healthy, they combine some hits with the pitching that they're getting right now, well, I defy any team in Major League Baseball to stop them come October.
When Bregman struggled last year in the playoffs, I got it. I thought he was injured. What's going on now?
Yeah, exactly.
It's not like he's playing poorly. It's just, you know, he's better than this. And he has been a marginal third baseman to this point this year. Kyle Tucker, I feel like we have seen some signs of him being able to return to the guy that he was last year. But, you know, look, we're not sweating here. We're just acknowledging that the lineup is not as potent as it's been before. If you told me Jeremy Peña was going to be hitting .293 to this point this year, I mean, wouldn't you assume the rest of the lineup around him would be doing great?
Yeah.
That's not the case right now.
But, right now, Jeremy Peña is third in OPS on the team, which is wild. It's like .851, something like that. The only two people beating him are Altuve and Yordan. That's it. And the names that you would expect to be above him, you'd expect for OPS, you'd expect Brantley to be above him.
Yep.
You'd expect probably Tucker to be above
him. And to Brantley's credit, I mean, Brantley, for the most part, Uncle Mike had been the most consistent hitter on this team from the beginning of the year throughout. Peña has joined him in that conversation. Now, Altuve's been on a tear of late, too. And I suppose, look, you can't, you know, we sound like a bunch of spoiled children here saying, like, why is the whole lineup hitting? But at the same time, you look at this lineup. And outside of, like, what, the Yankees, who do you look at in the American League that's anywhere even close to them? And yet, thus far this season, maybe this is the new reality, they're just not as scary as they used to be. And I really can't point a finger to it. Because if it was as simple as Carlos Correa being gone, that would be easy. But mm-hmm. this is just like, are they older? Are they being figured out? Are they not the same guys? I don't know.
Yeah, and I think, like... depending on what happens with Bregman over the next couple of years, I think you have to start to look at him and be like, all right, he's not exactly doing what we want him to do at the plate. He's playing third base for us, which, look, you need a good third baseman, but you don't need a gold glove third baseman. Maybe it's something where you start to consider moving on from him if he doesn't start to produce. I'm not talking this year, and I know that's tough. A lot of people are going to hear that and be like, oh, my God, you're freaking out. Stop freaking out, Josh. We're not trading Alex. I'm not saying right now. I'm just saying the conversation needs to be had that if he does not produce moving forward in this season, if he doesn't start to turn it around, and then he comes out next season and he's having a rough season again.
What are you going to get for him then?
Well, yeah, you're not going to get a whole lot, but at some point, it's sunk cost fallacy, right? At some point, you can't just keep putting him out there when he's not producing for you. You got to move him for something. And that would be the conversation. We're a year away from that conversation, but it's definitely one that you got to think about.
That conversation only takes place, I think, if they're just absolutely having a tank of palooza of a season, you know?
That's fair.
But okay, that could happen. I feel like we're so far away from that. Could be wrong, though. You never know. This run just seems like it is guaranteed. It is a given thing, which is awesome to say. Don't take it for granted, I guess. I am Paul Gallant. He is Josh Beard. We are in for the Killer Bees, Joel Blank, Jeremy Branham, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I've got an admission for y'all that some of you might not take too kindly to. I'll tell you what that admission is next.
Gives us choices. So does Carbach Brewing. If you're wanting an IPA, it's Hopadillo for you. A blonde? Think Love Street. If you're an Astros fan, gotta go Crawford Bach. Life gives us choices. Choose Carbach Brewing.
Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees are on vacation, so you got Paul Gallant, you got Josh Beard today. Brendan Riley is behind the glass. And basically, I just showed up today and I said, you know what? I'm only doing the rundown for my show. Vanessa Ann Gallant, 10 to noon. Brendan Riley making all the big bucks behind the glass. You figure out the rest of the show.
It's kind of mean, to be honest.
Yeah, I know. I've never done this before.
I just need to point out, like, technically, look, I know I'm a fill-in, okay? I'm just a random fat fill-in guy from Twitch. Need to point out, this is the Killer Bees, and the people who host this show, their initials are JB. I think I actually have more experience. I think I have more... I'm more of a raconteur of this show.
You are a killer bee.
I am a killer.
Paul's the fill-in.
I feel like you're the fill-in, and I'm actually the host of the show. But that's just neither here nor there. I am also the current reigning Who Said It champion, and nobody can beat me. I'm just saying. I'm just throwing it out there. I know I'm the fill-in. I'm just saying I feel like I'm not. Paul does not like. He's doing like a funny bit. He's actually mad that I said that right
now.
Fine.
He's a little mad. Fine. Yeah.
Salty Paul is my favorite Paul.
It's fine.
Yeah. What's fine? That you're the villain or
is fine?
What are your initials? PG. Yeah, that doesn't sound like JB to me.
In my name.
That doesn't sound like JB to me.
B stands for beta.
No, that doesn't. Boom. Should I try to do a Jeremy? Since I'm sitting in his chair, should I try to do my best Jeremy Branham today?
Like, go for
let
it.
Let me see if I can do a Jeremy Branham. Houston Cougars. Hi, I'm Jeremy Branham. No, that's not. It's not
see,
there. I'll
see,
work on
the
it.
Content. You got.
Yeah.
The voice.
No, there's nobody can do Jeremy's voice. It's impossible. I hate it.
Another day on the Killer Bees.
No,
yeah,
that's,
I can't
that's
do it
not,
either.
I can do a Paul. But hey, I'm Paul Gallant.
Yeah, I'm very easy to impersonate.
I can do Paul, but I can't do a Jeremy Branham.
While we're bullying me, the rundown.
You bullied me for 2 hours before this show.
Well, yes, because the Mavericks lost, and it's hilarious.
All right,
it was a great time for everyone to see a Dallas team lose. But one of the teams I root for. Because remember, I had my little 2-year sabbatical to Seattle. The Seattle Mariners are a team that along the way, we had a little thing going, you know? And look, I still rooted for the Astros, but I had to kind of keep it close to the vest. Because I was trying to survive up in the great Pacific Northwest. You got Antifa out there. You got people who hate Astros fans, too. So I kept it close to the vest. I never stopped supporting, but I just didn't say anything because I wanted to make it work there. But along the way, I came to like the Seattle Mariners, which, you know, just based off of history, the Astros own them. I thought, this could work, right? So it's just a relationship. It's just a fling. But then they were kind of good last year. I became really friendly with Mariners fans. So I can't hate the Mariners. Yeah. I want them to do well. They're the saddest, poor organization in all of sports, but you know they looked really, really hot when I was up there.
They're a division rival, though.
They're not a rival.
No, that's like if you were married, okay, and your wife and you're like, okay, things aren't working. There's no passion there anymore. There's no fire. We got to separate. Let's figure out who we are. And we don't want to get a divorce, but we got to figure out who we are separately. So you do a trial separation, and then you go and try to date her sister.
Well, if she's hot.
But no, that you can't, you have to, if you do that, you can't then also still kind of be dating and have feelings for her sister. You have to cut all communications, period, point blank, no more. You can't do that. They're division rivals. You cannot like
they're
both
not rivals,
the Mariners
though.
And the Astros.
They're not rivals.
They're in the same division.
Yes, a division that the Astros came into.
You can't do that. I'm
a
not
decade
allowing
ago,
it.
First off. Second off. A team that has been terrible its entire existence. If we were talking about the Rangers, absolutely unacceptable. If we were talking about the Angels, I think that would also be out of bounds.
So it's like the wife's cousin.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not quite as bad.
But it's still not great. It's like still, there's still bloodlines. Like it's still within the family. Like your wife and cousin, they spent summers together at grandma's house. They became really good friends. Like you can't do that to your wife.
Well,
Astro's wife.
I feel like it was sort of like the television show, Yellow Jackets. Okay? You know, a plane crashes in the wilderness. I'm up in the Pacific Northwest. And, like, hey, the cousin happened to be on the plane.
What show are you talking about? Are you making up a show?
Have you ever seen Yellow Jackets on
Showtime? I've never heard of Yellow Jackets.
It's a fantastic show.
I think, Paul, I think Paul's making up shows.
No, I'm not. If you haven't watched this, then you're uncultured, so that's fine. This show is on Showtime, and it's about, think about this. So have you, you've read, that book about the kids.
I have read a book about kids before,
Shut up. The book, The Fly.
Lord of the Flies? Oh, okay,
Think Lord of the Flies with 1990s girls soccer team.
Okay.
It's a very good show.
I'm going to have to check it out.
It's a very good show. I at least the first few episodes are awesome. It slowed down a little bit towards the end of the first season, but it had its first season, and it goes back and forth to present day and back in the day, and the concept is fascinating to me.
See, he's even stepping out. We're on the Killer Bees right now, and he's talking about Yellow Jackets. Like, he's even stepping out on bees right now.
Whatever.
Stepping out on the Astros.
I didn't step
stepping
out
on the fictitious wife that I made up
out.
For him. Stepped. Yes,
listen,
you stepped out.
I'm French-Canadian, okay? French people believe in open love.
Yeah, okay. We're not in France. We ain't in France, Paul.
Mais
we ain't French.
Je m'appelle Paul Maurice Gagnon.
I don't know what you're saying.
Français.
Mm-mm. No.
We French, listen, I'm sorry. We are different kind of lovers. So, okay. You know, we're into the open thing. Some people a little more monogamous. That's fine. But, I mean, look, I've been married before to the Red Sox. I divorced them entirely. It's not like I'm rooting for the Red Sox and Astros. No, I don't even like the Red Sox anymore. I'm rooting for the Astros and the Mariners. There's nothing wrong with that.
I think we have to take this to the audience. I think we have to take this to callers. I think we have to take this to the text line and to the Twitch chat. They have to decide your fate. We're using their judgment.
I'm not going to lie. Like, the Mariners have kind of let themselves go pretty quickly.
No. You cannot do that to them. You can't. After this whole conversation,
like 30 pounds in 3 months. So
awful.
Well, I mean, so he's gaining 30
pounds.
What
if we were dating? What would you say to me after I gained all the weight? Would you have left me?
I think I would just leave, yeah.
That's awful. That's terrible.
I'm a terrible person. I'm not denying that.
Yeah, I'm not gonna judge. Brendan, what do you say? Do you think this is acceptable that he has an open relationship with the Mariners?
So what I struggled with is I feel like he does get a grace period. I just don't know how long that grace period is.
I feel like that grace period's over.
I will say this. I have yet to watch a Mariners game by themselves since I have moved back here.
Okay, that makes it... So that's like you haven't gone on any dates. You haven't seen them.
That's because they
cut off communication.
It's because they're ugly. If they were hot, he would still be watching.
It doesn't change the
it's
point,
baseball,
though.
So yes. Yes. It is baseball. Listen, I'm not going to go out of my way to watch two other teams play. Like, I even used to do it with Yankees, Red Sox. I'm not going to spend seven hours watching a 9-inning baseball game between those two teams, you know? So I'm just saying, okay, like, it's an open relationship, but it's pretty obvious who the main one is. I've watched Big Love. It's fine.
this tells me
he had three wives. Bill Paxton did on Big Love.
This tells me that Paul, like in the hypothetical marriage open relationship thing, if he had to drive more than 30 minutes to see the side piece, he would not.
Listen,
it'd be over.
I
outside of the zip code
for a company that like gets it. You know, like now they don't advocate it publicly, but they get it.
They get it.
Yeah. Because it was like a company owned by the Church of Latter-day Saints. They get it.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So
it really was Big Love.
That's at least what the television show indicates.
I'll give you a little bit of grace here. Because you have a lot of love to give. There's a lot of love inside of Paul Gallant. And I don't think enough people let you give that love. And you have so much love to give. You can give it to the Astros and the Mariners now. For now.
Okay.
But soon you got to make a decision.
I do think it is fading away. So I don't think it's going to be something to be concerned about. And I think
if
there was a playoff series between these two, I would be torn at first. But especially now that I'm gone, it's weird. Like I feel like I never lived there now. It really has been strange. Like that the 2 years in Seattle, they just feel like a blip. Like I've come back here and I'm like, wow, it's like I never left. Seriously.
Like a dream?
Yeah, in a way. Yeah. Anyway, he is Josh Beard. I am Paul Gallant. It is the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We got Brendan Riley behind the glass. Taking your phone calls at 713-780-3776. Is this allowed? Am I allowed? I mean, they're the Mariners. They're not good. Like, what are you concerned about? You know where I stand. You know what happened. Who are you celebrating with deep into the night when the Astros won the World Series? Me. Who had the best call of the World Series victory? Me. I said, bitches in it. It was awesome. Think Robert Ford's doing that? No, he ain't going to do that. He's too professional. Anyway, as we continue the Killer Bees, coming up next, who's the most underappreciated figure in the AFC South? Is it on the Texans? It's an interesting answer that one website gave. I totally disagree with it, but I do have another one. I'll tell you what it is next right here. Killer Bees, ESPN, 97.5, 92.5.
Razor sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Happy Memorial Day weekend. Hoping that you are kicking it off right. Hope you're hanging with us. It is a Frankie's Friday. $50 gift certificate. It's a weird word. $50 gift certificate to Frankie's Italian Kitchen. But you got to bring a hot take in, whether it's on the text line, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. You can also tweet us. Josh Beard sitting in for in the Jeremy Branham chair is at Josh Beard Radio. Me sitting in the Joel Blank chair at Gallant Says. If you want to bring a hot take to the table, someone did text in regard to our last conversation, Paul, just one. Cut your pinky off or you have to pick the Astros or Mariners. Okay. I mean,
Do you need your pinky, though? That's the biggest question.
Well, I am a flag football legend, so.
Odell Beckham Jr. showed you you don't need all your fingers for that.
Listen, I need my hands.
Okay.
Which are suspect, as it is.
Well, then what does it matter? If you already have bad hands.
If I lose a pinky, it'll be worse.
That can't be that much worse. No. You have two hands, you'll still have nine fingers.
I'm like Ted Ginn. I run by everybody, but sometimes.
I don't think the pinky is the thing that's making or breaking you as a wide receiver.
I don't know about that. What else we have? Ocho Texas, the most underappreciated figure in the AFC South is Mr. Ryan Timothy Tannehill, the people's quarterback. Get out, Ocho. I love Ocho. Ocho and I go way back, yeah. But this is like one of the worst takes you've ever had. Ryan Tannehill is awful. He is not who you want under center. Did you watch him in the last playoff game? Did he go to that same high school as like Drew Brees or something like that? Like, what am I missing? Did he even play high school football in Texas as a quarterback? Wasn't he a wide receiver coming out of?
He was a quarterback. He was a quarterback, and he started as a wide receiver at Texas A&M, and then became the quarterback when Gerard Johnson went down.
Okay. Couldn't even win the starting gig for his
own. Okay, all right.
And top 10 picks.
You just hating on Aggies.
I'm not hating on Aggies.
Ryan Tannehill above mediocre quarterback. Not bad. He's like, he's awful.
Right now?
He's not awful. He didn't have any weapons
last year.
He had no weapons
last
year.
Yeah, A.J. Brown, not a weapon.
Well, A.J. Brown was still banged up and wasn't fully A.J. Brown yet.
They played a game where their defense had 9 sacks officially, 11 sacks technically of Joe Burrow, and they lost.
And his running back was Deontay Foreman,
who had some very good games last season.
Yeah, because of an offensive line that could block well.
Well, you have an offensive line that can block well, and any running back, whether it's Derrick Henry or Deontay Foreman, can run for a ton of yards.
His targets last season outside of A.J. Brown.
Doesn't matter. You have A.J. Brown.
No, name his targets outside of A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown wasn't there for the majority
of the
season.
Off the top of my head.
Julio Jones!
Julio Jones was injured. He was hurt.
Well, he's always hurt.
Yeah, exactly.
Was Josh Reynolds there?
No, he was with Detroit. He was with Detroit, yeah.
He was with them at the start of the year.
Was Tajay Sharp still there?
Oh, my God.
I'm trying to think. Now, I'm really curious. I can't. They had a ton of injuries last year, but Tannehill is the reason the season ended.
Yeah, but, Dak Prescott is the reason the Cowboys season ended, but you're not going to say Dak Prescott's an awful quarterback.
Dak didn't throw 3 interceptions that were just awful.
No, he slid the timeout. And lost the game for them in that moment.
You're not convincing me on Ryan Tannehill.
If Dak Prescott had been with the Tennessee Titans and had that defense playing the way they were, then he would have won that game. I'll say that. But I don't think Ryan Tannehill is bad. I'm not. This isn't like an Aggie defense thing, and I'm not in love with Ryan Tannehill. I just think he's better than people think. I think he's in that like Kirk Cousins realm
awful
of quarterbacks.
Awful was an extreme word. I will concede on that one. But I have not been a Ryan Tannehill fan ever since he lost his mind as the Dolphins quarterback.
That's fair.
Over a fourth string a practice squad player intercepting him, and he said, I hope you enjoy your practice squad paycheck. And ever since that moment, I've been out. I've just been out on him.
Listen, it's not his job to lead you. It's not his job to coach you. It's not his job to be a leader, okay? It's not his job to prove to you that he's the guy.
I didn't have a problem with him and what he said about Malik Willis, by the way, at all.
I didn't either.
That is not his job. That is not his job at all. But, okay, the question was, who in the AFC South is the most underappreciated player? So there's a list that was put together by NFL.com, and it lists the NFL's most underappreciated players. And the Texans player listed was Marlon Mack, which is an interesting one. I was at least of the mindset of, when they signed Marlon Mack. We'll see what happens. He was pretty good in Indianapolis, but he's had some injuries of late. Yep. I don't think that we should be looking at Marlon Mack and thinking to ourselves the Texans running back situation is resolved, given that David Johnson, who had a wrist injury, not a knee injury, not an Achilles injury or anything like that, was never the same guy again after being one of the best running backs in the game when the Texans obviously thought he could be that when the DeAndre Hopkins trade trading for him. I would say in this situation with Marlon Mack, that is not someone I'm really even factoring into what the Texans do this season. I feel like there's a much better chance that their rookie Damian Pierce that they got is going to would be, you know, an actual running back for this team. And of course, you're going to get more Rex Burkhead too.
Yeah, I think he's properly appreciated. I think he's exactly appreciated where he needs to be. Everybody's concerned about, look, we don't even know what Cam Akers is going to be coming off of an Achilles tear. And Marlon Mack never really even he showed flashes every once in a while when he was in Indianapolis, but he never showed that he was like a workhorse bell cow guy at any point. So it's not like, it's one thing to say Cam Akers showed talent. He showed flash, like a lot of, he had a lot of really good games. And then all of a sudden he had an Achilles and you're like, oh, can he bounce back? Marlon Mack's not that. For me,
I don't even feel that good about Cam Akers.
No, not at all. It's a tough injury.
Sean McVay gave him the ball way too much in the playoffs last year, and it's one of the reasons I think that McVay's a little overrated as a head coach. I thought he made some boneheaded decisions over the course of the playoffs, but they won a Super Bowl, so he's a Super Bowl champion.
Well, and then they went out and drafted a running back too. They got the what's his name out of I can't remember his name. The guy
Horatio
out of Notre
King.
Dame.
Yeah,
no, not Horatio
Alfonso
King. Kyren Williams. They got Kyren Williams out of Notre Dame, so they drafted a guy too. But for me, if I had to pick an underappreciated player for the Texans, it definitely wouldn't be Marlon Mack. I'm going to pick Laremy Tunsil. I think Laremy Tunsil is one of the most underappreciated players on this team because everybody was talking about trade him for draft picks, which I get. I wouldn't have hated.
After you've traded draft picks for him.
Right, exactly. But people keep talking about Laremy Tunsil like he's just some like, oh, whatever, he's not that great. Get rid of him. But I think he's fully underappreciated because he is one of the better left tackles in the league.
But don't you understand why? Because of last year where he didn't play.
Yeah, it's hard getting really excited about a good left tackle when you're a team that isn't competing for anything. Very hard.
That's fair.
But
Offensive linemen are boring.
I think he's underappreciated because of that.
I got to say, though, when it comes to Laremy Tunsil, can you at least show up for OTAs?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, look, you had an injury last year. Whatever it was, fine. You're committed to sticking around with this organization. But, I mean, Brandon Cooks is here.
Mm-hmm.
I think Brandon Cooks is honestly underappreciated. I feel like
Cooks
is a very good player. And with this team, that he was able to do what he did this past season despite almost zero help around him. I mean, if you're a defense and you're going into a game plan against the Texans, that is the only guy that I'm thinking about.
Yep.
It's Brandon Cooks. Everyone else? No. Now, maybe this coming season, maybe things change a little bit. Maybe I'm looking at John Michi or something like that, assuming that he gets back to 100%. But, yeah, right now, it's like, okay, if I stop Brandon Cooks, I feel pretty good about my chances to win this game.
Yeah, Brandon Cooks is a really, really interesting one because, like, I do a lot of dynasty stuff. Like, the only fantasy football that I do now is dynasty. It's the only way to do fantasy football. It's awesome, which means you have to evaluate a lot more. You have to look at guys who you have to actually watch their film because you're building a team, right? And I know people are going to laugh at that and be like, oh, fantasy football, whatever. Some of the leagues that I'm in, there is money on the, like, lots of money on the line. So this isn't your granddad's fantasy football, okay? Like, my kid's college fund might be on the line in a couple of these. But Brandon Cooks is an interesting one because there are a lot of people from, not just from an NFL watching football standpoint, but from a dynasty standpoint, they're like, I'm not a big fan of Brandon Cooks. I don't think he's great. Brandon Cooks is a good wide. He's still wide receiver one in this league. I think he has wide receiver one talent. And when you talk to, or at least wide receiver two,
he is a wide receiver one without a wide receiver two right now.
Yes,
and,
exactly.
I mean, but just based off of that, sure.
He's one of the better wide receivers in this league. Now the league is super deep at wide receiver, and the talent between Brandon Cooks and like maybe like the 50th wide receiver is probably marginal. but he is still a good, talented receiver in this league. And I feel like you're right. He is underappreciated. He doesn't get enough love because of how many different teams he's been moved to and from. And I think there needs to be a lot more love for him and what he's been able to produce for the Texans the last couple of seasons.
There's always been a pretty substantial return in Brandon Cook's trades. So that speaks to how the NFL feels about his talent for what it's worth. If I'm picking an underappreciated Texan, though, and it's not a player, the Pep Hamilton is...
Oh, yeah, I like that.
I am all in on Pep Hamilton. There was another list on NFL.com, which is nice this time of year to help you jumpstart conversations. But I think it was Adam Schein who had listed that, like, these are the guys that you're going to jump on the bandwagon of this year. And his number eight was Pep Hamilton of the Houston Texans, their offensive coordinator. And, I mean, I think if you take a look at the end of last year, it felt like there was a lot of things that were building towards anything when it seemed like Pep Hamilton had more say than Tim Kelly in the offense.
Yeah, I like that pick. We talked about this last week whenever I was on and filling in on last Friday, but I'm really intrigued to see what Pep Hamilton – I hope he stays, and I hope he sticks around, because I'm really intrigued to see what Pep Hamilton can do as the offensive coordinator with the next quarterback that comes in. And I know people in the text line and people are listening to me say that, be like, well, what about Davis Mills? He's the quarterback for now. Okay, won't be. Won't be in 2023. Sorry, bye, Bryce Young season. Fully on board the Bryce Young season train.
How long do you think it'll take for everyone else to join you in the Davis Mills bandwagon? Because I'm not on it. My answer for Davis Mills, and I say this about all young quarterbacks, probably not the answer. Like, don't like. I'll even say that about Mac Jones with the New England Patriots. You're following Tom Brady. Probably not the answer.
If Davis Mills does what and now look, Pep Hamilton got a lot more out of him last season than we thought, right? But I think if the season goes how I think it's going to go, and Davis Mills is doing some things, but he's not doing enough, and the team is still losing, I'd say by week three, week four, people are like, okay, he's good. He could be a good backup, but he's not the guy, and they need to get a talent that's a franchise quarterback. He's not it. I think by week three, week four, people are going to really see how much more help this team still needs before they're going to compete. And he might be okay, but he's not the guy, especially when you have guys like Stroud and Young coming out in the draft next year.
And assuming that this team's just going to continue as we have for the most part seen. I do think it'll be more of a pulse, a little bit more blood flow, a little bit less pasty whiteness like me. Josh Beard to my right. I am Paul Gallant. It is the Killer Bees right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brandon Cooks is probably the Texans' best player, but where does he rank amongst all of the receivers in the NFL? Interesting, we were just talking about Cooks. Someone put that together. We will talk about where he actually ranks per the liberal media next.
Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Paul Gallant, Josh Beard. So, Pro Football Focus put together a list of the top wide receivers in the NFL. We were just talking about Brandon Cooks. Where does Brandon Cooks rank? Well, first off, let's just tell you who's at the top of the list. Number one, Devontae Adams with the Las Vegas Raiders. Number two, Cooper Kupp. I don't think you can put anyone above Cooper Kupp after the season he just had. That's just me. DeAndre Hopkins is at three.
Ugh. Yuck.
Yeah, that's high.
He's not even going to play the first six games, and he just spent last season injured. And who knows what he's going to look like when he comes back from his suspension.
More like P.E. DeAndre Hopkins. Got him.
More like DeAndre Poopkins.
Well,
because he's poop now.
Well, remember the story?
Oh, yeah.
That would work.
Yeah, probably should.
That actually would work. Allegedly, of course. Stephon Diggs is four. Tyreek Hill at five. Jamar Chase, 6. Justin Jefferson, 7. Mike Evans, 8. Then it gets into some other
tiers. That's a travesty. 3 and 4 being above Tyreek Hill, Jamar Chase, and Justin Jefferson is a travesty. I think that's probably one of the worst rank. I like Stephon Diggs. He's not near the talent level of those other three guys.
I would have Justin Jefferson higher. Yes. I don't know about Jamar Chase. I would definitely have Tyreek Hill higher. Here's the thing. There's so many damn good receivers in the NFL now. And as you go down this list and you continue to see them, you're like, oh my God, there's a lot. So when you get to where Brandon Cooks ranks 26th in a tier four, maybe not elite, but high-quality pass catchers, it is a bit surprising that he's there, right? Is he the 26th best receiver in the NFL?
And
isn't that kind of depressing to think that the best player on the Texans is probably the 26th best at his position, even in a sport where you see three good receivers on a team in a lot of different spots?
I'd have him higher on this list. I'm trying to look up at some of these names. I'd have him higher on this list. I'd have him above Mike Williams. I'd have him above DJ. Well, talent level wise, I guess I wouldn't have him above DJ Moore, but DJ Moore doesn't have anybody throwing him the ball, so he's not going to get the yards. But I'd have him for sure above Mike Williams. I'd have him above Odell. I'd have him above Julio. I'd have him above Thielen because Thielen's older. He's not producing. He's injured. I'd have him above Allen. I can't believe Allen Robinson is 17th on this list. Michael Thomas hasn't played football in 45 years, so I'd have him above Michael Thomas.
I do like Allen Robinson, but Thomas is one I do not agree with.
Right.
Decision.
It's just I would definitely have 26 is too low for Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks is it's not crazy low, but I'd have him more in probably that 17 to 23 range.
I think it's just about right. Yeah, I'd probably move him up a little bit, but at the same time, I mean, the only guys that, yeah, Julio Jones, I almost always say Julio. I don't know why.
Julio Hones.
Damn it, I almost did it again. Julio Hones.
That's what I'm here for. I'm here to throw you off. Repeat after me.
It's confusing because of the J's. I don't know why I always
Julio.
Do this. Julio Jones.
There we go.
Odell Beckham Jr., those guys being as high as they are. Yeah, I'm not thrilled with that. I would have Tyler Lockett higher. Tyler Lockett is at 23.
Yeah.
I watched him in Seattle. If I have to pick between where Tyler Lockett is and where DK Metcalf is, 11, I would probably have Lockett ahead of Metcalf. Nothing against Metcalf, who has all the skills I want and I just love as a human, too. But Lockett is...
He produces. He produces when Metcalf doesn't. He gets separated. That's the thing.
He's the most trustworthy receiver, out there.
He gets separation. He gets separation because of his route running where Metcalf doesn't. Metcalf just tries to outrun people. Lockett actually does like little things. His hip drop is really, really strong. He'll do like little shimmy moves to actually get separations. Metcalf's just like, I'm going to run faster than you.
Lockett also has really underrated ability to get behind defenders, despite being, you know, a guy that you would look at and say, oh, that's their traditional slot wide receiver. And I really wonder what Russell Wilson's going to be without him.
Yeah.
Because I think that he has been a huge part of Russell Wilson's success early on in his career. And it just reminds me of draft night in 2015. I remember I was at NRG Stadium. I remember how the draft was playing out. And I remembered hearing from some, Tyler Lockett is the guy that they just traded up to get. And they traded up, I think, a couple of spots. Or maybe they were waiting around. I forget exactly how it unfolded. All I know was that the Seattle Seahawks traded in front of the Texans to draft Tyler Lockett. They must have known. And the Texans ended up with Jalen Strong. And I just think about this every single
worst
day.
Worst draft ever.
Oh, it was so frustrating. Because I'm just a massive Tyler Lockett fan. I think he's just everything that you want in a player for your team. Tough. Plays through injuries. Very, I think, just skilled at just about every single element. Can return kicks for you if you want. He's a really good player.
I just have a problem with this. Look everybody who is in sports media or really focuses on like different things about football and sports, a lot of us read Pro Football Focus, and we always take everything with a grain of salt. I just have a huge issue with any list that doesn't have Justin Jefferson in the top five. I think Justin Jefferson is his talent level is light years above Stephon Diggs and now DeAndre Hopkins.
And he's working with Kirk Cousins as opposed to Hopkins with Kyler Murray and
Diggs with Josh Allen.
Right. And you know, one of the things that we always used to prop DeAndre Hopkins up for while he was here in Houston was, look at who he's playing with. And then insert the long list of quarterbacks before Deshaun Watson.
And there was a time where DeAndre Hopkins, I mean, when we've done stuff together, I tried to tell everybody, I thought DeAndre Hopkins at a time was the best receiver in the NFL. I had him above Julio Jones and Antonio Brown back in the day. But now it's just not there anymore. He's not top five anymore. Stephon Diggs isn't top five. Tyreek Hill and Justin Jefferson absolutely deserve to be in top five. They've done it for multiple seasons at a high level now. And this list as a whole, Pro Football Focus does some weird stuff with their stats, and I just don't fully love it. I definitely think Brandon Cooks needs to be higher on this list.
There are times where I look at Pro Football Focus and I roll my eyes, and there's a lot of the people that are in that community too. The problem I have with some of the analytically driven football minds that are online, they're so damn sure of themselves,
yep.
which I understand to an extent, but there's a certain point, too, where you have to say, okay, our models, our formulas give us this data, but sometimes it does not add up. And I feel like sometimes instead of addressing the things that don't add up, they will just stand by the things that they do feel like work. There's one statistic, and I know this is one that's for quarterbacks, and I don't even know what it stands for. I just know that the gauge that it measures, EPA, is generally a pretty good measure, especially if you're trying to rank quarterbacks and stuff like that. But, yeah, from time to time, you're like, okay, well, how did you come to put this list together? Is it entirely objective? And there are elements that I just feel sometimes are forgotten. Like Mike Evans at number 8.
Yeah.
I like Mike Evans as a wide receiver, but I've always felt that Mike Evans could be so much better given his size and his strength. And I get really ticked off when there are moments between he and Tom Brady where he just doesn't seem to have it. What it is,
yeah.
hard to describe, but I've always felt that for a guy of his stature, he should be one of the best receivers in traffic in the NFL.
Agreed.
He was at college. You know, I mean, Johnny Manziel, I thought he should have won the Heisman over Manziel. Manziel was just
100%.
Running figure eights round and like chucking it over his shoulder.
Throw
like,
it into quadruple coverage.
Drunk.
Yeah.
Right. And he might have actually been
he
drunk.
He might have actually
you
been
know?
Drunk.
You know, and Mike Evans was incredible. But I always thought like, hey, man, like you're big and you're when guys get into you, you don't play like the tight end size guy you are.
He kind of disappears sometimes, weirdly. He lets the defense just cover him up, and that should never be the case. I was somebody with Mike Evans. I feel like he's a little under. We talked about underappreciated players. I feel like he's underappreciated when it comes to wide receivers sometimes. But I do agree. I think he's a little bit high on this list for me. I would most likely have AJ Brown and Deebo Samuel ahead of him list.
I'm obsessed with Deebo Samuel. So
my only issue with Deebo is injury concerns. It's like how healthy can he stay? That's my biggest issue because he's had some serious injuries. But other than that, I think he's just a wildly talented football player.
Why is CeeDee Lamb 12th?
I don't because he hasn't really done anything yet. Like if you look at what he's done with the Cowboys,
don't you think it's high?
I
think he's been good, but I feel like he hasn't proven he's better than Terry McLaurin.
I think he has, or at least comparable. I think if there's a difference between the two, it's marginal.
But who's McLaurin working with? I mean,
nobody.
I mean, he had like Dwayne Haskins one season, and last year, I mean, geez, I don't even remember the Commanders starting quarterbacks. Like wasn't Alex Smith in for a game?
I think they had 6 different quarterbacks. Yeah.
Did they have Kyle Allen? Like honestly, I don't even know. And he's still
but Terry McLaurin produced. Was the number one, and CeeDee Lamb hasn't been the number one wide receiver yet in Dallas. So that's a little bit...
If you're this high on the list, shouldn't you have been the number one already?
No, I don't think so. I think you can look at the talent level of CeeDee Lamb and say that he is at least comparable to Terry McLaurin and T. Higgins and Chris Godwin. And look, could he drop on this list if he doesn't produce as the wide receiver one? Absolutely. But I think talent level, age, everything, opportunity now, I think 12th on the list is probably about right for him. Because when he has had the targets, he has produced. He just hasn't produced at the level that people want him to yet because he's been stuck in that wide receiver two role for so long.
We're on the Pro Football Focus list of the top wide receivers in the NFL. It's what started this conversation. And Jalen Hurts. I don't know why we're saying Jalen Hurts. Brandon Cooks ranks 26th on this list. I read Jalen Waddle's name, and that's what that distracted me for just a moment. So if you take a look at this list, 1 through 29, who do you think is like the best value buy? Because I'm looking at number 27. And I'm just seeing a guy that should be on the New England Patriots.
Oh, God.
You know, he's scrappy. He's 5'10". He's 184 pounds. Hunter Renfro. Can you believe Hunter Renfro has actually turned out to be exactly what he looked like in college?
Yeah.
You would think that next level, okay, maybe things aren't going to be as easy for him as it was in the ACC. But my God, I mean, you know, look at what Derek Carr now has in Davante Adams. But think about Davante Adams and this guy in the slot. I wish I believed in Derek Carr a little bit more because I would see maybe Vegas going further than they did last season.
Yeah, my problem with Hunter Renfro is I just have an issue with 26-year-old breakout wide receivers. Like
he's
26. And he
I forgot about
now,
that.
Now, I think this is only his third season and he's 26, something like that, so he's still young in his career, but I have an issue with 26-year-old breakout receivers, and I have issues with Derek Carr. I think the best value here for me is Courtland Sutton. Courtland Sutton now finally getting an actual quarterback. You talk about somebody who can replace that Tyler Lockett role for Russell Wilson. I think Courtland Sutton's the guy. He looked good last year, moving around, cutting and running routes, coming off of his ACL, MCL stuff. I think Courtland Sutton is the best value on this list. 29th is way too low for what he's going to be.
It's the injury. But yeah, and look, with Russell Wilson, And with well, we'll see what happens with Jerry Jeudy's legal status, too, because he's got some off-the-field stuff going on. Josh Beard, Paul Gallant in for Joel and Jeremy on the Killer Bees. Coming up next right here, the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. How about overrated things outside the world of sports? Because there's a big TV series that both Josh Beard and I are giant nerds for that was released last night. I'm wondering if it's making the list because our producer is cackling maniacally behind the glass. And I'm a little bit upset and offended. But anyway, it's fine. We'll continue the show next. What's really overrated in this, overrated outside the sports world? And is the Obi-Wan TV series on Disney Plus in that list? We'll talk about that next.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Paul Gallant and Josh Beard in for Blank and Branham, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I mean, I'm offended by the rundown our producer, Brendan Riley,
I think you did a
together.
Great job. What are you talking about?
Well, listen, I get it, you know?
Like, you're so triggered right now.
You've been a producer in the past, so you're standing with your guy, right?
No, I think he's put together an amazing rundown. I think he's done a great job.
I'll admit, I do like the fact that I just got to show up and be like a giant diva and just say, this is what I'm going to talk about today.
This is my show now.
There are old coworkers that I had back in another city that didn't do that, and it drove me crazy. Like, they just expected the producer to lay out the whole show for them, and I was like, wait, you provide no content? Are you kidding me? Like, what is wrong with you? And I remember bringing this up during certain exit interviews. Anyway, in honor of the Obi-Wan series release, writes our producer Brendan Riley into the show rundown, what is the most overhyped thing in pop culture? So I'm guessing, Brendan Riley, you're not a Star Wars fan.
I mean, Star Wars is fine.
Wait, hold on. Wait. I just offended you, and I didn't even think about this. You're not saying that Obi-Wan is overhyped. You're saying that Star Wars is overhyped?
I'm guessing that's the
whole
only
franchise.
Way you could come to
oh,
the whole
my God.
Franchise.
I have to fight Brendan later, which is weird because people say we look alike, so it's going to be like
and
fighting
sound
my clone.
Too.
Yeah.
Let's figure this out. So, Brendan, I'm guessing have you watched the movies?
I've watched most of the like non-spinoffs, if that tracks.
Well,
I watched all of the non-spinoffs.
So okay. Like the original trilogy?
The original, the
prequel trilogy?
The prequel trilogy and all the ones
have
that
you
started
ever watched
out in the last like 5-10 years.
Okay,
whatever.
So you've watched the movies.
Have you ever watched it in the machete order? Which is
the who?
The machete order. This is the machete method of watching the Star Wars films. You watch the first two movies, Episode 4 and Episode 5. After Empire Strikes Back, you go to the prequels, and you cut out the first one entirely. You watch Episode 2 and 3 to see the story of Darth Vader, and then you go back and watch Return of the Jedi. It's the best way to watch these Star Wars movies.
By explaining how you should watch it in not the correct order, you're kind of explaining how some people might find it to be overrated. I am not saying that. I am not saying that. However, okay, I was disappointed in the last trilogy. I thought The Force Awakens was good.
Yes.
But it was a ripoff of A New Hope. Whatever. I enjoyed the movie.
It's fine. Give me all my member berries.
The second one was weird and all over the place.
You could just say sucked. It's fine.
We watched it together, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. It was no, we didn't watch we watched The Force Awakens together, I think.
Was it The Force Awakens?
I don't think it was The Last Jedi.
You're right, it was The Force Awakens.
The Last Jedi, I was very disappointed.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.